This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
And we are back. Hope you have enjoyed all of the segments up until this point. Joe, your thoughts on some of the conversations we've had so far this evening?
I think they've been good. Very good. Informative.
Informative.
Yes.
I see you kind of ducked out of the conversation in regards to weight loss. Seeing you're a slender guy.
I'm going to leave that one on the table.
Well, you know, there was a time that I did consider doing the, you know, doing something a little extra than just kind of watching what I put in my mouth, so.
Now you just got to watch what you put out of your mouth.
you can say that. And just for folks who have may have missed one of our segments this evening, or if you wanted to hear it once again, they will be available this week just by going to the ATD website, 959.com, WATD.com. It's that easy. Scroll down, look left-hand side, you'll see the Monday Night Talk banner. You click on it, and voila, you'll be able to hear. We've got over 400 podcasts that are up at this particular time.
And we're on iTunes also.
And we're available on iTunes. See, you read the promo.
See, I just know these things.
Well, you're just lucky. I've just been saying it so many times that you're basically
right,
just parroting what I said.
Stop.
Is that accurate?
No, I am so involved and so up to date on what's going on here. I know these things.
You do? Do you know who our next guest is?
Yes. Our next guest is Jen Royal.
Really? What do you know about her?
I know that she is on ABC's The Taste.
That's all, right? Have you watched the show?
Actually, I have not. I don't watch a lot of television.
That's a bad excuse, Joe. You're lucky I kind of know what's going on here. Should I bring our next guest on?
I could say something about you and watching television, but I won't.
Actually, I believe joining us right now on the line is Jen Royal, Emmy Award-winning sports reporter, who has covered various sports teams, hosted or co-hosted radio shows on, I think, both sports talk radio stations in the area. Also is the author of her own cookbook, which we'll talk about, and is currently, Joe, a contestant on the third season of the ABC's culinary competition show called The Taste, which can be seen on ABC TV every Thursday night starting at 9 p.m. Jenny, you there?
Oh, my God, I'm exhausted just listening to my resume. Can I retire? Please.
I actually edited this down. There was more.
My God.
There was
no,
more.
No, you did it perfectly. I think you nailed pretty much everything. Good job.
Oh, you mean almost like the way you were able to nail your final spoon last Thursday?
How about that? Did you see that?
I was sweating for you. I was like, because not so much for, you know, you being able to, you know, be able to go on and be, you know, one of 14 contestants, but all the screaming that you had to endure.
24 contestants.
It's 24, but it's down to 14 now, isn't it?
Yeah, but we started with, yes, okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, we started with 24. Are we down to 14? Hold on, let me think. One, no, we're down to,
it was 15 last
13.
Week.
13.
It's 13?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, just for folks who don't know who you are, give them a little bit of a background as to yourself. I just kind of just touched the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
Here.
No, you did a good job. I'm pretty boring, pretty much. So I don't want to bore you with my resume.
But I believe you're a South Shore girl.
Yeah, I went to Mansfield High School.
Oh.
My father's from Charlestown. My mother's from Belmont. So we grew up in the city when we were younger. And you know what? I've been cooking my whole life. When I graduated from high school, my parents asked me what I wanted to do, and I said, I want to go to Johnson & Wales. I really want to go to culinary school. Mm. And, you know, I got a big scholarship to play field hockey at Salve Regina down in Newport.
Wow.
So I went down to Salve. I went to college there. I played field hockey. And I just cooked. I've just always loved to cook. I'm trying to think. And then I moved to New York City. I got a job with the Yes Network, which is the New York Yankees network.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I was with them for 7 years.
Oh.
So I think all my friends in Boston were like, oh, Jen's moving to New York. Like, what's the over-under on this one?
Mm.
You know, she'll be gone for 6 months. And, I mean, I was in New York City for 11 years. And then the Red Sox, the Yankees won the World Series in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
And I got offered a job in Baltimore to go host my own radio show, covering the Ravens and the Orioles, and to do a whole bunch of TV. And the only reason why I went was because I wanted to cover football. Like, I really wanted to experience covering an NFL team. I had spent 7 years with the Yankees and with the American League East, and I was kind of bored. I know that sounds terrible.
Wait. You could have been with the well, up until this year, you could have been with the Kansas City Royals. You could have been with any team that's just been, you know, abysmal for a number of years.
True.
Could have been that bad.
I actually got bored. I was so sick of the Red Sox-Yankee rivalry. I had covered probably, 200 of those games, and I was sick of the rain delays and the extra innings. And I said, I'm going to try something new. So I went to Baltimore and covered the Ravens for 2 years. It was the best thing I ever did. I learned football, went to training camp, got to know football players and, how that works.
Yep.
And I hosted the Orioles pregame show on CBS Radio, and I co-hosted the Ravens pre- and postgame show. Great experience. And then I just hated Baltimore so much, I literally wanted to kill myself.
But wait! So, it used to be known as Fenway South. How do you hate it?
Because I'm not a fan.
Okay.
And I'm not a fan. And you know what? I had just come off the Yankees World Series, and I'm born and raised in Boston, and the fans hated me. I came in and told them that their baseball team sucked, and they did.
Like,
I mean, they were horrible. Their ace of the staff was Jeremy Guthrie, who had lost 17 games that year. And they were in love with Brian Roberts, who couldn't stay healthy to save his life.
Right.
So I kind of walked in covering a Yankees World Series or coming off a World Series and covering, 250 Red Sox-Yankee games. And I'm like, what the hell is going on here? Like, the poster children for this team are injured losers.
Mm.
And not losers as in losers in life, but, pitchers who are losing 17 games a season, and they're the ace of the staff. So that was kind of odd. And, I told it how it was. And they all hated me for it, but again, which we'll get to in terms of the TV show, I always told myself, if I stay true to myself, regardless of what happens, I'll have no regrets. So I did. I stayed true to myself, and then they offered me a third year, and I was like, oh, God, I'm out of here.
But you did something up here in Boston. I tuned in to you a couple of times on EEI.
That was exactly it. I came
Saturday
home
afternoons.
Without a job, Kevin.
Yeah.
I came home without a job, which is really scary, really scary. And I was interviewing. I interviewed it all everywhere, Comcast, NESN, EEI, the Sports Hub, and I got nothing. And I was like, you know what? It's tough. People are under contract.
Yeah.
So it's like, just because you're the hometown girl doesn't mean you can come home and grab a job, you know? So, I left Baltimore without a job, came back to Boston, and I kind of started grinding stuff out, which was, I felt like I was 24 again, like trying to, get back into things. And I started doing some stuff on EEI, and then they ended up giving me my own show, which was tremendous because I was the first female to have a sports show here. And then I left to go to the Herald, and it all kind of worked out.
It has. And for folks, and as I had mentioned earlier on in the show, that I know that you are blogging what you're doing on the show. So if folks didn't have a chance.
For the cooking show?
For the taste,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah, I write a recap.
Which is very good. You do a very nice job breaking it down for folks like my co-host who don't have a chance to watch the show. They can kind of actually.
Yeah, that's total BS. Well, it's funny because the first sentence in my blog today is cooking shows aren't for everybody.
Right.
But there's something different about this one. It's dramatic, all the taste tests are blind.
Mm.
No one knows who cooked anything, and I think the concept is great. I think it's a really fun show to watch, and I can't even tell you how many people said they were on the edge of their seat watching last Thursday's episode.
Right. I was one of those people.
Friends who knew what happened were on the edge of their seat. They were like, Jen, I can't watch. I'm like, you know what happened. What do you mean?
Well, what made you try out for this show? What was it like to try out for it?
Yeah, that's a great question. My girlfriend, Heather Foley, who works here in Boston, sent me this little text message and with a picture of the ad. And I was like, I don't know what this is, Heather. She's like, oh, it's a reality show. You should try out for it. And I just was like, yeah, what the hell? I'm pretty daring. So I cooked something, and I went up to Cambridge to where the audition was. And I will say this. They red flagged me, which I think means let's give her a little extra look. Now, maybe they want someone on the show who's a public figure. Maybe they want someone on the show who has an insane personality. And that's probably like any reality show.
Sure.
But you have to be able to cook to get on it. Let's just be honest. When I mean red flag, I cut the line. Like, it wasn't, you know, hey, she's special. And so I made like chicken pot pie, and which is like my signature dish. I feel like such a loser saying that. Like, talk about a home cook. And you know, it was, I put wine in my chicken, and you know, I just made my own pie crust, and it was actually, I make them in little cupcakes. They're really delicious. And, you know, it was kind of a long process. You know, you had to talk to, have a little personality test. When I mean personality test, I mean tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure, and you get to just go on and on and on.
And you know me, I can't shut up, so.
But that's okay. But you want that, though. You don't want somebody who's just a little, the quiet, you know, the field mouse in the corner who won't say boo.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because watching, my mother came over today. We rewatched the show again, because you have to watch it again to see all the little intricacies, is that the right word?
Yeah, winks and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, oh, God, don't get me started with that. We'll talk about that, though. I do want to address that. And my mother was like, God, you don't even hear from Tarek or Tristan, and they're the best chefs. I'm like, well, they were the quietest people. And I think I'm such a main part of the show, a main character, just because of my personality. First of all, Kevin, do you think nobody else is cursing?
Well, I don't know, but you must do it more so. That's why they have the camera on you.
I guess I do, but...
That is one of my questions. That's one of my questions, though, because I was going to ask you, is it seems as though they focus more on your language than anybody else.
Well, you can't fight the edit, let's be honest.
Right,
you
true.
Can't fight the edit. So I think that they look at all the footage and say, okay, what draws us to her? You know, okay, she's got a potty mouth. What draws us to Vanessa? Well, she loves Anthony Bourdain. And, you know, what draws us to, you know, Dan, the fireman? Well, he loves helping people. So I think that's just, and I do curse a lot. I'm disgusting. I do curse a lot. But my mom today was like, you know what, Jen, you got to tone it down. I'm like, Ma, it's over. Like, you know it's over. You were there. It's over.
We're speaking with Jen Royal, who is a contestant on the third season of The Taste. What was it like initially? So what we saw the first hour of the season was you having to prepare this little itty bitty spoon, and they taste it, and then you walk out, and they're like, judge, you're hoping that someone will say, yes, I want you. Some people weren't fortunate enough to have one or two. You got two. Some people weren't that fortunate. Tell me what that was like.
I know I just said it was a great question. I'm going to tell you again why it was a great question and tell you again that it is a great question, because I didn't care if I got voted off the next contest as long as I just made it through that.
Ooh.
If that makes any sense. I was like, you know what? Just vote me off tomorrow. Vote me off the next cook, the next challenge. Just please do not let me stand in front of these four people on national television and have all four of them one by one tell me, sorry, Jen, it's just not good enough. We don't want you on our team. That's kind of horrible. You go home with your tail between your legs, you know?
Right.
So, I was thrilled that two of the mentors picked me. And the one mentor that picked me is the one that I wanted. So that made me happy. But it was really hard. I mean, you have 1 hour, but you don't know where anything is in that kitchen. You know, they give you a rundown, but you don't know where the pots and pans are. And, you know, the spices are all alphabetical, and you do your food shopping the day before, and, you know, everything's on your kitchen. Hold on for a second. Truman, stop it, or you'll take a bath.
I was just going to say that. I was going to say, I think Truman wants a few moments on the mic.
He needs attention.
That's your dog.
It was really nerve-wracking. But you know what, Kevin? I think I had a little bit of an advantage because the cameras didn't bother me. You know, and I'm used to working in intense situations. So to answer your question, facing the judges was horrific. I didn't know whether to laugh or cry, but I was really, really confident in my dish, really confident, and I was just really happy to get picked. So on to the wink.
Yeah.
Don't recall that happening. But I know it did, because I talked to Ludo, and I was like, Ludo, did that happen? He was like, Jennifer, of course it happened. What you mean? Yes, it happened. That's how numb you are.
Was it like a nervous reaction?
He was, like, staring at me, and I actually recall thinking to myself, right. Oh, my God, this guy hates me. Why did he just pick me?
Right.
He looks like he wants to dive over the table and stab me.
I have to ask, why did you pick him over Nigella? What was it about him? What was so appealing about him?
All right. Well, this sounds cheesy, but I am a really, I'm not good at a lot of things, but I'm a really great learner. Like when I covered the NFL, I had never covered football before. I didn't even know my first day of training camp with the Ravens, which side was offense and which side was defense.
Okay.
I mean, and I was hosting or co-hosting the pregame show 2 weeks later. I'm a sponge. If you tell me anything, I can do it. It might take me one or two times, but I will master it by the second or the third time. I can just follow directions like nobody else. And I just felt like Nigella was a home cook. I'm a home cook. Ludo is a amazing, amazing, world-renowned chef. I just felt like, hey, I'm here to learn. And they cut that part out. You know, I said, listen, I'm here to learn. I feel like I can learn more from Ludo. And he just kept saying, Jen, let me teach you, let me teach you, let me teach you. They edited that part out. And Nigella wasn't saying that. Also, Ludo screams and yells.
He does.
He's a maniac. But so am I. You know, like, you'll see this week I start to yell back. And it just works for us. You know, I'm chaotic, he's chaotic. I'm very emotional, he's emotional. I kick and scream, he kicks and screams. It ended up just working for us, or up until now, it has worked for us. So okay. Whether or not it does in the future is another story, but you'll have to watch and see. But, you know, it's just like him screaming at me in that taste-off didn't bother me one bit.
Okay. Talk about the team. You know, there were a couple of different challenges that they had where, you know, mm-hmm. They would judge individually. We'll talk about that.
Yeah.
We'll talk with it was kind of a team. Well, first they had the team type of thing where
you have a team challenge.
Yeah, what was that like?
The team challenge is fun. The thing about the team challenge that a lot of people don't understand is that, you know, we all have to make something,
right.
And then Ludo will. I'll just use Ludo for an example. Chef Ludo will pick the best spoon, and that spoon represents your team. And then the guest mentor of the week will taste the spoons, you know, one representing each team. And if you have the worst spoon, you know, somebody has to go home right then and there. So with that being said, you can kind of hide behind your teammate's spoon a little bit.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like if Ben had a great spoon, I could say to myself, you know what? Ben's spoon's really good. I'm okay with not having Ludo pick my spoon or not doing great in this challenge because Ben's spoon is so good, I'm confident we're not going to lose and no one's going to go home. However, God forbid Ben's spoon is the worst. You have to have spent that hour also proving to Chef Ludo that you deserve to stay. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So even though you can kind of hide behind somebody's spoon, God forbid you lose that group challenge, he's got to pick someone right there on the spot.
So you got to kind of like plead your case, so to speak, if your team wasn't successful.
You have to plead your case, yeah, as you saw those girls going after each other,
yeah.
Which was awesome.
I kind of liken this show like it's like the culinary version of The Voice.
Mm.
Kind of.
That's exactly how I describe it. It's the culinary version of The Voice.
Yep.
Exactly.
Talk to me about the clock being your enemy, because you said it not. I think you've said it a couple of times where you're like, you start out with 30 minutes before you know it, you look up and it's like two minutes left.
True.
I'm not even done.
You look up, you have 30, you look back up, you have two. I think you just kind of, the time gets away from you, and it's so funny because looking back, again, like I said, I watched the show earlier today with my mother. Do you know how many times I've cooked salmon and cauliflower puree? Do you know how long it takes? It takes like 20 minutes.
Really?
Okay, so how come I couldn't get four spoons out perfectly in 1 hour? You know,
I think Truman just answered it.
I don't. Truman, stop it. I absolutely do not have an answer. It's just, I don't know. I don't know why I couldn't do it. Because looking back on it, that probably would have been the easiest thing I could have made on the show. However, to be honest with you, Kevin, I wouldn't have changed anything. I'm so glad I lost.
Well, now I have to ask you this, and that is, what's it like to, you have your own style, and I know a couple of times Ludo has called the way you keep your kitchen unbelievable. Explain what I'm talking about.
I'm a mess. I'm an absolute disaster. He calls my kitchen Baghdad.
Yep.
It's just unbelievable how much of a mess I am. But here's the thing. I'm a mess in life. I mean, my house is very neat, but when I cook at home, my kitchen's a mess. When I wrote my cookbooks, the kitchen was a mess. And that's all I know. You know, I'm chaotic in my own brain, so my kitchen is chaotic. And every time Luda would try to get me to clean, I would look up and I would have lost time.
Mm.
So there's like one scene from last week when I'm making the salmon, and I was like, listen, you know, a messy kitchen works for me. This is just the way it's going to have to be, because I looked back up and 10 minutes were gone because I started to clean.
Right.
I don't work in a professional kitchen. I'm not a professional chef. So all these other chefs work in restaurants where they've gone to culinary school, where they've learned to keep their kitchen tidy. I never learned that, and my grandmother was messy, my mother's messy, so it's just the way it is, and nothing has changed. You know, Ludo says to me, have you learned anything, you know, is your kitchen clean? I'm like, no, it's a disaster, but my food's really good, so deal with it.
Again, we're speaking with Jen Royal, who's not only somebody you know from the Boston area as a sports reporter, and not only an author, we'll talk in a few moments about her cookbook, Dare to Taste, but she's also a competitor on the show, The Taste, that you can see every Thursday night on ABC starting at 9 p.m.
No, 8 o'clock.
Is it 8 o'clock?
8 to 10.
8 to 10, I'm sorry. 8 to 10. I think I catch it usually at that, well, because it's 2 one-hour shows, right?
No, it's a 2-hour show, but they do kind of, like, you know, the first hour is going to be group challenge and solo challenge, and then you know that second hour is going to be that damn taste off.
Okay. And you actually, this past week, you actually kind of had a little, you squared off a little bit with one of your friends, Mia. What was that like?
Is she my friend?
Well, I don't know. I you called her your bestie, but she kind of was like,
no,
you ain't.
No, I called her, if you listened carefully, not that you didn't, I called her my best friend here.
Oh, right, okay.
I was like, we're best friends here. She's not my best friend.
Okay.
I think the part that they left out was afterwards, I was like, oh, trust me, you're not my best friend in real life either. And you made it very clear that I'm not your best friend here. You know? Here's my take on that. You know, you're in a really stressful situation. You're out in Los Angeles, which means if you're from New York or Boston, you are, you know, across the country. You're away from your friends. You're away from your family. Not to sound corny, you're away from your animals, your dog. And you're with 16 people you don't know. You know, you're in a hotel room, you're getting in a van at 4 o'clock in the morning, you're in hair and makeup, which I hate, at 5 o'clock. You are, you know, cooking at 7:30 in the morning in a very high-pressured situation. So you gravitate towards certain people. And I think I wrote this in my first blog for the Herald. You know, me, this woman, Myrna, who didn't get chosen, and Mia, the three of us were together, Kevin, all the time.
Wow.
I mean, we had a couple days off. We went to Manhattan Beach. We went to Venice Beach. We went to dinner. We went to lunch. We were in each other's rooms. And all we did was talk about, you know, what we were going to do when the show was over. And, you know, we had nicknames for each other. We sat on the van together. We, you know, took naps together. We were just always together. And I'm loyal to a fault. If you're my friend, you are my friend to the death. It's just the way I am. I expect the same in return. And, you know, I think they edited it to certainly make Mia look worse than me. And I hope that people did understand that she was a very good friend of mine up until this point. And I think what pissed me off the most, Kevin, was that she had three other options. You know, she had two, she had Jake and she had Natasha,
right.
And it would have just been so easy to say, you know what, I got to agree with Jen, I got to go with Jake, you know, he had Eric LaPere in his kitchen, and, you know, you shouldn't be in the bottom if you have, you know, one of the top chefs in the country in your kitchen tasting your food. Or she could have made a joke and said, you know what, I can't pick my girl, so let's just go with, you know, Jake, because alphabetically he comes first, like, just something funny, just think of something funny, and out of all those options, she picks me.
Yeah.
And what they left out was she says to me, well, I'm picking you because you're from Boston.
That would have been good.
I can't believe they left it out. And I looked at her and I said, do me a favor. You can say whatever the hell you want about my cooking. Don't you ever talk about my city.
Ooh.
Ever.
Yeah, because she's a Jersey girl, right?
Yeah, which is, don't get me started.
All right,
don't talk about my city. Don't talk about where I'm from, which I have so much Boston pride. It's like, it's disgusting. But, you know, so they did leave certain parts out. Now, did I need to go after her and say that she was on two losing group challenges and that her macaroni and cheese ball was the worst? No. But watching the episode again and seeing how her scallops were burnt to a crisp, it actually shocked me that I went into that taste-off with Jake. It should have been her and Jake. Her dish was disgusting.
Mm.
I mean, you cook scallops for 30 seconds. Those things were burnt.
Mm.
I clearly went in for my attitude. And again, they left out a lot of our bickering. So I feel like I went into that taste off because of my attitude. And Ludo, Ludo couldn't save me.
Well, last thing I want to leave. Well, two things I want to kind of before we. Because yeah. I want to give you a moment to talk about Dare to Taste. Mm-hmm. I would definitely like to have you back on, whether it's at whether you make it all the way or however the show ends up. Would love to have you back on.
Go home Thursday.
Don't say that. Don't tell us that.
I could. You don't know.
Well, then we'd have you back. But I want to have you back on.
Okay.
All right. So we can kind of continue this conversation. And I'm sure you're going to, no matter where you are, you know, you're going to continue watching it to see what happens. You probably already know. But, you know, want to get your take on it somewhere down the road.
Yeah,
right?
Of course
I know what happens. But, okay. Shh, don't tell nobody. but I want to give you a moment to talk about your book, Dare to Taste. It's out there. It's out there now, correct?
No, it sold to publisher. We had a little setback.
Oh.
I know, it sucks, but you can still order it.
Okay.
Basically, I wrote my first cookbook, Bullied into Cooking. I did it for charity. I raised money for the Boston Public Schools and their anti-bullying campaign. And not to sound like a jerk, but I wrote the cookbook, and I was like, oh, God, that wasn't that difficult. The hardest thing about writing the cookbook was just that I don't measure. So I had to cook everything and really write everything down and kind of figure out in my head, you know, what a cup was, how much is a half a cup, and this and that. I've never measured ever.
My grandmother, who's from the old country, never measured.
Never. I don't. That's why I don't bake. I couldn't bake a cookie to save your life, but I can make you a 7-course meal with no dessert.
Okay.
So that was really the hardest part for me was the measuring. So I wrote the cookbook for charity, and they sold like hotcakes, and we raised a ton of money. And then, you know, once I went on the show, you know, ABC was kind of like, so, you know, what are you going to promote when the show's over, you know, depending on how well you do? And I was like, oh, crap, I don't really have anything. So I came home, and I focused, and I wrote another book. But this is like me in the kitchen, chef coat, my name's across it. This is my book. And again, it wasn't that hard, but it was definitely challenging in terms of getting people. I have to write it as if you're 2 years old, if that makes any sense. Like, I don't understand a lot of things, so I always say to someone, can you explain it to me like I'm 5? So I would read it to myself and say, okay, can a home cook or somebody who doesn't cook at all really understand what this means when I say put it in a strainer with the back of a spoon? You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So it was definitely challenging, and I hope it's good, but it's at the publisher. We had an issue with the cover, so I have to reshoot the cover on Wednesday.
Okay.
Which, me getting my photo taken is like going to the dentist. I absolutely hate getting my photo taken. I hate the camera. I hate getting my picture taken. I hate having makeup put on my face. I hate having my hair done, and I have to do the whole thing on Wednesday, and I kind of want to die.
Well, I have to ask you.
Yeah.
How can folks order, at least place an order for this book?
Yeah. I mean, I've already sold a good amount of them. I'm so excited. They'll ship by the new year. You can go to Dare to Taste, DareToTaste, simple.com. And there's 35-plus recipes. They're all my own. There's unbelievable photos. Jillian Souza, who's a photographer for the Pawtucket Red Sox, did all of the photos. Eric Levin, he's a famous photographer in Boston, did my cover, or he's doing it on Wednesday. And it came out really good. I just need a new cover photo, and then it'll start hitting the printer. So I'm really excited about it, and hopefully I can sell a bunch load.
Now, do we end up seeing you on the Food Network somewhere down the road, you think, or what? Is that your next challenge?
That's a good question. That is kind of on my radar. I think I need a break right now.
Okay.
I go to culinary school in January, which
awesome.
Is 3 days a week. And then the other 4 days a week, I'm going to be working in a restaurant in Boston. So I'm not ready, Kevin. I'm not ready. I need to, like, take a breath and kind of evaluate everything. I think the show has to finish airing. And we'll see. You know, they're interviewing now for the next Food Network star.
Okay.
And I was like, ooh, I planned a trip to New York, and I called the girls and my girlfriends, and I said, you know what? I'm gonna pull the plug on this one. I think I need a break.
Well,
so I'm gonna enjoy this, and then we'll see what happens.
Well, we're plumb out of time, but I want to thank you so much for sharing
your
time on the show so far. And let's put a little bit of a tab here, and we'll revisit this, okay?
All right, sounds good, Kev.
There she is, Jen Royal, joining us, closing out the show. And that's another Monday Night Talk. Until next week, have a great day.